校主任。
Hello and welcome back to Rocky Minute, a daily podcast where we analyze the movie Rocky 1 minute at a time. I am Doug Greenberg.
And I'm Jason Haynes.
Joining us one final time this week, Ted Sullivan. Welcome, Ted.
Thank you very much. It's been a lot of fun doing this week with you guys.
Yeah, this has been great.
Yeah, thank you. Great. Thanks for coming on.
We don't usually get the insider angle on filmmaking, so this is a real treat for everybody. Or at least for us.
Yeah, it's been a living...
I don't want to speak.
Yeah, it's been a living hell on this end in here in California. I'm never going to forgive my brother for talking me into doing this.
Today we are knocking out minute 60, which begins with Rocky giving a shout out and ends with Adrian comparing Rocky to Einstein, Beethoven, and Helen Keller. It's a stretch, but you know, we'll see.
Maybe she's talking about Heart.
The band?
Yes, right. She left.
So they No.
I was just going to yes and the joke, but I think we beat it to death. I think we beat it to death.
But we always talk about how that time when you beat a joke to death so much that it becomes funny again.
Oh yeah,
you go around and it's back to funny. Yeah. We were just about to get there.
We were almost there. I'm sure we could keep talking about it. You know what's really funny is when you keep talking about a joke. you know, you mentioned looking right at the camera. What I love about Rocky breaking the fourth wall, it's a nod to how absurd all this is. I mean, he's looking straight into the camera, and they found a way to motivate that. And he speaks to Adrian through the TV, and then they cut to him laughing on the couch because he likes his performance. He's like, yeah. And he knows it's a joke, but he ain't got the chance to tell his girl, like, hey, I'm thinking of you. And then she smiles because she's so touched. It's this beautiful.
She's delighted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But she's also embarrassed. But so there's a little bit of the old Adrian that we've seen. So she's not totally there yet. This is a moment where this absurd story, this hero's journey that he's on, brings them a little bit closer together. And it's saying to the audience, oh, this could work out, you know. This could work out for you, and it says they're in this together, you know. And for the rest of the scene, she basically keeps her hand on his back, you know, which is like, we're a team. Yeah. I have your back. It's a subtle thing, but I've said it before this whole week. But I love moments where you don't notice it, but your brain does, and your heart does. Mm-hmm. And it tells a story without having to say things out loud. I love, like, without music. There's no music in this scene. There's no camera movements in this scene. They're relying on the framing, the editing, and the performances, and the writing, of course.
And the last time we saw Adrian, she's very uncomfortable in her own skin. But now she's very comfortable physically touching him, you know. They look like they've been at it for a while, which is a huge leap from where.
Well, she's more comfortable with touching him. She's still not fully comfortable in her own skin. Like she continues to evolve physically in how Talia Shire plays her, she goes from this caterpillar into a butterfly. But she's very smart with every scene that she's in. Her physicality changes a little bit, and that's really the sign of an actress who is just brilliant. I mean, it's hardly surprising. She's been in Rocky and the Godfather movies, so I mean, this is someone who doesn't need to apologize for her career.
No, she definitely kills it. And to think somebody like Susan Sarandon could have the part.
And I love Susan Sarandon, but talk about wrong for the part. Or Ryan O'Neill was supposed to, like, they were pitching Ryan O'Neill for this. You know, wrong.
Be totally different.
Wrong. you know the story about The Graduate with Robert Redford in The Graduate? Like, he was originally cast in that movie. And And the director, Mike Nichols, said after a week working with him, this isn't going to work out. And Redford wasn't Redford yet. He hadn't done, you know, he was sort of Redford. And he said, I really need this job. I can do it. And Mike Nichols said to him, well, how, let me ask you this question. This movie's about a guy who never got the girl. How many times haven't you gotten the girl? And Redford responded, what do you mean? And Mike Nichols went, that's what I mean. You've always gotten the girl. And Stallone's own personal life of struggling and being told no and no and no and never getting the break and feeling that his life was slipping away and that he was wasted opportunity, like Mick tells him, that comes through in this movie, in this performance. And if anyone else played it but him, it would never have worked. It would never have worked. Even if you put De Niro in the movie, because I don't know if De Niro could have played the sweetness. Right. You know, I don't.
He's too rough.
You know, he's too kind of angry. And that's the thing about Rocky that makes him so lovable is he's not angry. And Adrian's not angry. They have a lot to be angry about, but they're not. I mean, Adrian's explosion kind of comes through, but it's... At a couple of points, but she has hope and faith in him, and that's in love. They're both two people that are just all about love.
Yeah, they really are. They embody that.
And, you know, another thing that's really smart about the direction of Avildsen here is Paulie's never in the same frame with him. He's an island of snark and racism and isolationism, all by himself in one corner. But Rocky's trying to stay positive. You know, Adrian and Rocky are not going to get dragged down into Paulie's kind of negative thinking and racist thinking, and they're above the fray.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting too, because this is really the first time we see Adrian stand up to her brother. I mean, she stands up to her brother in the sense of. Well, actually, she doesn't stand up to him. She goes out on a date, which is she makes a choice to do it. But in this scene, she stands up to him, and she's got facts and details at her hand. You know, she's the smartest person in the room. She's and thanks to the relationship with Rocky, she's kind of found her voice. So she's not the shrinking old maid from the beginning of the movie. She's more fully realized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I made a note that was probably the first time she's ever spoken out against.
Yeah,
Paulie.
It's Paulie, and his reaction to it isn't this minute, but it's what you would expect from a jerk. She's standing up for Rocky. She's standing up for her man, and you know Paulie reacts like a jerk, like you would expect.
But here's what's interesting about Paulie and why he works as a character and as a lovable character is he does say a line of truth here. Which is, he says, you're not going to be able to succeed alone. Now, Paulie's not the right guy to do it, but he's the right guy to voice it. And that's why he's an important character. He voices the theme, but it's up to Mick and to Adrian to actually implement the theme. But he's like the Greek chorus in this point, where he's saying, well, you need this in order to win. Paulie's not the right guy. Mick is, Adrian is, but he does say it's important for the audience to know what the theme is and to find an eloquent and kind of a subtle way to express it to them without simply saying, which too many Hollywood movies do, popcorn movies do, I must do this because if I save this person, then it will redeem the fact that I let my father die. You know, like, they don't do that. Paulie's, they're hiding it with him being sneaky and slithering and that type of thing, but he's actually right. He can't do it alone.
Yeah, yeah. His statement about that is completely self-serving.
Right. But from a story structure standpoint, you need that. He's right. He's just the wrong guy.
It's like Rocky knows exactly what he's getting at.
Of course he does. And that's a really smart thing to point out, because he's not a total dummy. He's a man of the streets, so he knows... Right. When someone's kind of trying to rip him off.
And he did that on the walk to the house on Thanksgiving when Paulie kept trying to, you know, get him to talk to Gazzo for him too. It's Rocky can read Paulie. Rocky knows when Paulie's trying to get at something without coming out and saying it.
But also, like, when he takes the girl, tries to take the girl home to take her off the streets and bring her, you know, because he's trying to say, look, there are guys out here, they're not going to be good, and they're going to look at you in a certain way. And, like, he's not book smart, but he's street smart.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's, this is another, as you said, another example of him being able, he kind of shoots Paulie a look and then goes right back to the camera as he's eating his apple, because he's like, I know what's going on here, Paulie. I know. Mm-hmm. But he's also, because he respects Adrian and because he respects friendship, he's not gonna tear into him. He tries to give Paulie an out to say, like, you know, I can, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to train myself, all that. Like, as opposed to, you're a jerk and I know what you're trying to rip me off. He saves that for Mick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, he say, and that's smart writing too. You don't want to have repeated scenes. You don't want to play the same emotion in every scene, and you don't want to play the same dynamic amongst characters in the same in various scenes. If you as a writer, if you find yourself doing that, that's the script telling you, I don't need this character, or I'm telling the wrong scene. I've already told this piece of information, and this script is perfectly laid out, and it takes you on a journey and guides you through it without you even knowing you're being guided through it.
Paulie's suggestions for helping out and cashing
absurd.
In.
Absurd.
Need someone to help with the exercise. That's not going to be you, Paulie. Standing by with a towel or running errands.
Running errands.
Oh, you know what? Here, take the whole $150,000 for all those chores.
Does he say what, like, you know, help you live the clean life or whatever? Yeah. Would Paulie be the kind of guy you think... Or, well, so far I've been drinking in every scene. I'm overweight, right. But let me help you live the clean life.
Yeah, or the exercise. Yeah, I'm gonna and then when that doesn't seem to work, let me be the towel boy. Hold the
towel. Let me run your errands for you.
Yeah, I think that should cost about 75 G. I think that's probably what towel boys get, right? Yeah. But you know, we've said this before in previous episodes, but the this minute really drives home how important the relationship between Rocky and Adrian are, and how important they are to each other and their journey in making this transformation. This isn't just about, it's called Rocky, but it could have been called Rocky and Adrian.
Right. Yeah.
You know, cause they both change as much, as the other character does. And which is, oh God, I get emotional. Even just my wife laughs at me, because if this movie's on and I watch that last exchange where he goes, you lost your hat, which, you know, like, which is the most beautiful moment, I think, in film history. It's because in the midst of all this madness, he sees that she lost her hat. That's how much he loves. Oh, Jesus, I get emotional talking about how is this possible?
Because that's his, in that moment, his only concern.
Yeah, right. And then yeah. I love you. I love you too. You know, like, I mean, come on.
My wife gets her hair done. I don't notice for a week and a half. Right. Rocky noticed her hat fell off in the middle of of just, you know, the greatest fight of his life.
Yeah, you know, and I said this like at the beginning of the week, but this sequence is, I think, the most important in the entire movie. Because it covers theme, and it covers, you know, it is the point, and which is when it's supposed to happen at minute 60, where the movie turns. Mm-hmm. So this is the turning point for the whole movie. It is the most important place. This is when the whole movie goes in a new direction, and the characters start to transform in a major, major way. Theme is spoken. It is, and it represents what everyone, other than the very top 1% of America were living at that time, which was struggling to get by, trying to do whatever you could do to survive, feeling you're being left behind, and feeling alone. And this is the part of the movie where you start to realize, I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. I might have a shot. I think maybe I can find that hero in me to succeed. And that's a really profound thing. And I don't think people think about these scenes as important or their favorite scenes, but for me, it's for very personal reasons. This is my favorite couple of scenes in the movie, and I think it illustrates the mastery that Stallone had as a writer, the mastery that all of them had as actors, and Avildsen had as a director, and the editing too. It's funny to have all these scenes with no music in it, because you think of the music every time. If you think of Rocky, you think of the theme song. Yeah, that's what you think of. Uh-huh. And there's not a single note of music in any of these minutes we've talked about.
No, this is totally a glaze-over scene. The only thing, as many times as I've watched this, the only thing I really, until watching it this way, that I took out of it is when they're pushing him off the stage and he goes, "Who are you pushing? Yeah. I'll smack you in the mouth."
Yeah. Which think about that. That's the way he's led off the stage, as opposed to how Apollo left, which is on a house laugh. You know, like Apollo knows how to exit and knows when to leave, and knows how to end on a high note. And Rocky has to get shoved off the stage, which is it's unceremoniously, and he feels again like a bum.
Yeah,
so he can't even enjoy his moment in the sun there.
Shout out to Adrian, got ruined.
Yeah, so it drives home that this is an underdog, this is a blue collar guy. He's out of his element. He's a fish out of water, and he doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell. And it's really, really, it's really masterful 70s filmmaking.
Well, when Paulie tells him he doesn't really have a good chance to win without good people around him to help, Adrian jumps to Rocky's defense by saying that she believes he does have a good chance because Einstein flunked out of school twice.
Right, right.
That's the connection. But...
Is that so?
Is that so?
I love his mocking. Beethoven was deaf, Helen Keller was blind. Like, these people succeeded despite them having the odds stacked against them.
Right.
So she throws out that Paulie failed, like, in the... He didn't finish school or he flunked twice, you know, like,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's so much love from her, and also shows off her brain and her education. So she's got facts right at her fingertips, which is good. And Paulie comes from just reactionary and self-serving and, you know, like she's where it's at. She's the unsung hero of this movie.
Yeah. Paulie's used the control in the situation by shouting and violence, and she tore him down with one statement, and he doesn't like it.
No, it's great.
All right. I mean, that's pretty much the end of my notes.
Yeah. This was great.
It's been terrific. It's a really great bunch of minutes to talk about.
Well, next week here in Rocky Minute Land is Christmas Day on Monday. So we'll be listening to Minute One huddled around the Christmas tree opening presents. So I know you got to run, Ted. Do you want to do a quick sign off and then I'll close?
Sure. Sure. It's you can find me at Carter Hall on Twitter and Instagram, which spelled KARTERHOL, where I post a lot of behind the scenes images and videos and links to the show that I work on, which I'm a writer and co-executive producer of, Star Trek Discovery, which is on CBS All Access and Netflix and Space Channel in Canada.
Excellent. You know, thank you so much for joining us this week. It was a lot of fun, man. Yeah, you give insight into the background of and filmmaking aspect of it that, you know, we wouldn't have normally gotten. So we appreciate it. Thank you.
It was a lot of fun. I really appreciate it, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
And as for us, we're on Twitter at Rocky Minute. Our listeners group is Mighty Mix. And we're on duelinggenre.com. With other movies by minute shows such as Back to the Future Minute, The Cornetto Minute, Disney Animation Minute Essentials, Ferris Bueller's Minute Off, Harry Potter Minute, Jay and Silent Bob Minute, Lord of the Rings Minute, Us Rocky Minute, Spider-Man Minute, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Minute, and Toy Story Minute. I think it has grown since the last time we did this.
Yeah, I remember Disney Animation Essentials.
It's new. Right. Yeah, and moviesbyminutes.com. There's the comprehensive list of all the movies that get this treatment. So go check them out. And Merry Christmas to you, Ted. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you very much. Had a great time, guys.
Thank you.
Excellent. All right, and we'll see you guys next week on Christmas Day on the next Rocky Minute.